Joining us this morning, our state senator, Brad Hawkins. Nice to have you, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Well, here we are rolling into the second week. Before we get into that, maybe you can give us a little recap of how the first week went for you.
Well, it's been kind of a hit and miss on some things. You know, we're all getting used to having this remote session. So all of our meetings are by Zoom, all of my staff meetings, constituent meetings, committee meetings. We've done some floor voting in the full Senate electronically, and you know, it's a little clunky, but fortunately we've kind of cut out all the other extra things. A lot of the ceremonial activities and more honorary things have been sort of streamlined out of the process this year in anticipation of things taking a little bit longer, but for the most part I think things are going okay, and I think we'll be able to kind of get into our groove here over the next couple weeks.
That's good. Good to hear. Tracy Ellis has reported this morning that there's a bipartisan measure scheduled for the Senate tomorrow through the State Senate Government and Elections Committee to help get restaurants, gyms, and entertainment venues opened up. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that bill is a mostly Republican-led effort, and basically it's sponsored by the Senate Republican leader. His name's John Braun out of Centralia. And it's a bill that would allow businesses and restaurants, as you mentioned, to move into the phase two. It does have a hearing before the state government committee tomorrow. And I'm a member of that committee, so it'll be very interesting to hear about that. You know, we've had some struggles basically with the governor's, what I would consider a top-down command and control Olympia-based set of recurring directives throughout this pandemic. And I think people are ready to, now that the vaccines are available, ready to make sure we can open up our economy. You know, one of the things that I've been very frustrated with, too, is the governor's approach to vaccines, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk about that. But again, he was taking a very top-down approach to vaccine distribution, and you know, just too much red tape can actually cause a lot of delays, and that's something we have been seeing, unfortunately, with vaccine distribution in our state.
Well, and to that point, in the news this morning, Governor Inslee saying that the state is now ready to move to phase B1 on the vaccination schedule, implementing some help with the National Guard and others to the goal, apparently, to vaccinate some 45,000 people a day. Also with the help of business partnerships and healthcare and labor entities. Do you know more about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually welcome news. About a week ago, on January 11th, I organized an effort with the chair of the Senate Education Committee and the chair of the House Education Committee, both Democrats, prominent Democrats, and a colleague of mine who is also the ranking Republican member like me on the House Education Committee. The four of us sent a letter to the governor basically calling him out for his previous vaccine timeline that basically said, well, you know, older Washingtonians should be prioritized, and we all agree with that. But then for this next phase, school employees, if they were over 50, would have an opportunity to gain access to the vaccine. But if you were under 50, you were pushed out until April or May. And as you know, Jeff, there's two doses required, approximately 3 weeks apart. So by the time, under the governor's current plan, that school employees would have an opportunity to be fully vaccinated if they wanted to, basically we're looking at the end of the school year. So I sent this letter in with my colleagues, and it got a lot of statewide attention throughout media sources and other things. The Washington Education Association, as the statewide employee group, took a vote the next day in support of it. The superintendent of public instruction then followed up with his own letter in support of essentially the same thing. And then a day later, I called for a statewide school employee vaccination day, and I called on the governor and the Department of Health to designate February 1st as that day, as we enter into this next phase, so that the school employees, the teachers, administrators, and support staff who are helping to deliver an essential service and helping our state fulfill its paramount duty in according to the Constitution would have an opportunity to gain access to the vaccine, especially now that they're mostly going back to a lot of in-person instruction. And fortunately, with that announcement yesterday, the governor did change that, and I'm proud to say and quite humbled that we were able to make this change, that all school employees, regardless of age, will have an opportunity to get vaccinated in the next phase once a certain percentage of the prior phase has been vaccinated. So it's good news. We're seeing some progress there.
Mm. Yeah, that definitely is good news. As you look forward to this week, what's on the agenda that you think folks need to know about?
Well, we've had committee meetings. I mean, that's kind of the process that we're in this early phase, kind of like with that phase two bill that you were talking about. Yesterday, in the Senate Education Committee, there was a hearing on a bill that I've proposed related to alternative school calendars. You know, Jeff, we're really accustomed to taking 3 months off in the summer, and then the schools in September basically need to reteach everything to kids that first month. So I proposed an idea up to 50 school districts. We have almost 300 school districts, but if 50 school districts wanted to, on a voluntary basis, create more of a year-round school calendar, the state would support them with some funding some additional days. So that's kind of an interesting process to address learning loss, both because of this pandemic, but also pre-pandemic with all the summer months of learning loss that has occurred. So we really need to focus on these students in our K-12 system now and try to help them catch up with their academic progress in the years ahead. Hmm. So that bill was heard yesterday. It might pass out of the Education Committee this next week. And then today I have a bill, Senate Bill 5158. I'm partnering with Chelan County PUD and the Department of Natural Resources on helping utilities work with the DNR to minimize risk of wildfire. And today at 1:30 for that hearing, Chelan County PUD General Manager Steve Wright will be testifying. And I've done some good work with the DNR and Commissioner Hillary Franz over the years, so I'm looking forward to keeping that good working relationship going this year with this bill.
And what are some of the things you expect to come out of that collaboration?
Well, 2 years ago, the state of Washington put in place a task force that would look at electric utility and wildland issues to help minimize the risk of wildfire. And that task force has done good work. They've put together a set of recommendations related to how to remove danger trees that sometimes the transmission lines or distribution lines can spark and cause wildfire. And the task force has also come up with some helpful suggestions for communication protocols. And they issued a report to the legislature just this last December. And my bill for this year proposes to help the DNR implement some of these recommendations that the task force had been advocating for, and to report back to the legislature every 2 years on the progress of some of these things, so that our utilities can keep in close contact with both DNR and the legislature on this issue. And it's a big issue. I don't want to alarm everybody, but when you look at what happened in California with PG&E going into bankruptcy because they had some liability, massive liability, for causing some wildfires that they were blamed for, we do not want that occurring in Central Washington with our PUDs. And so this is an important bill, and I'm hopeful that it will move through the process.
Well, very uplifting report this morning. I was, to be honest, I wasn't expecting all the good news, Senator.
Oh, well, thank you, Jeff. You know, I am working very hard for our district. It's kind of a busy time. I'm also in communications with Rep. Steele and Rep. Gaynor. We meet every couple weeks by Zoom just to strategize how we can maximize and leverage our different positions for the betterment of our district. And I think we're all trying to get in our groove, but I'm very excited. And I've sent out some good communications recently trying to be helpful on things. And if people have any questions, concerns, thoughts, or feedback about state government, I encourage everybody listening to reach out to me at senatorbradhawkins.org. They can get access to all my information and contact me. Even though the staff, Jeff, are all working remotely in our different offices, we are still trying to maintain the same high level of constituent customer service that my office has long prided itself in. So I encourage everybody to reach out if they have questions.
Senator Brad Huckins, thank you. We just always appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Yeah, likewise. Great to be with you, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Be well now.